Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
This portion of the Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Visit 2x London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers, at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center, and select or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Always love talking to Tim Legler, and I think he enjoys talking to us, but when Andrew checked in with him, he could not have said yes quicker. It's the quickest that any guest said yes he wants to be nice. On, because he's got things to say.
Is that true, Tim?
Tim, is this true?
Yes. You know what? Yes, it is. And it actually caught me right at a time when I was finishing up my the Sirius radio show that I did from 10 to 1. So the phone was right in front of me. He asked me. We had just talked about the topic on the air. I was still kind of fired up about it, so I went ahead and immediately responded. So, yeah, that's a pretty quick response for me.
All right, so John Morant, to me, comes off as a total punk, but I don't think that Elfrid Payton did the right thing either.
No, definitely not. Of course not. And you're not talking about John Morant.
No, Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder. I'm sorry, Jay Crowder.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Okay, because you confused me there. I'm like, what did John Morant say? Yeah, so, no, I agree. I don't agree with what Elfrid Payton did. I don't agree with Marcus Morris's comments either, and that he later apologized for, which I was glad to see that he did that. No, I'm not condoning somebody, you know, starting a fight or a brawl breaking out. No, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, I didn't even address anything about Elfrid Payton last night or Marcus Morris or anything. I was simply talking about the specific play that Jay Crowder made at the end of that game, which to me is indefensible. And anybody that's out there defending it, there's a couple points of view that you're coming from. Either you hate the Knicks, and it could even be Knick fans, because I was getting some feedback from Knick fans who were glad that happened to the Knicks because they hate the team that much now. You know, you just don't like the Knicks, or, you know, you're a Grizzly fan. Or maybe you just really like Jay Crowder, whatever it may be. But there's no common sense point of view that could defend that. And I'm sorry, there's not. I honestly, personally, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that. You know, first of all, to lurk in the backcourt to get a steal like that up 18 with less than a minute to go in the game, 50 seconds ago, clearly the Knicks had waved the white flag. They were conceding. Even their body language as they took the ball out of bounds, you know, and you casually turn and flip it in. There's no possible way you would be expecting someone to be lurking in the backcourt to get the steal. But whatever, he did that. And even when he did it, the Knicks, yeah, they were kind of surprised. But then you could see they were going to let him just then dribble the ball. But then to go and, like, look over his shoulder and quickly go to try to get that three up in the corner – That's gonna be a provocative act, man. It's gonna lead to some things, and that's what happened. So all I was saying was, I get why the Knicks were that heated. I'm not saying I condone the play and running through a guy's chest. Like, that could be dangerous. Like, Jay Crowder could have gotten hurt on that, but I know this for a fact. You know, when I played in the decade of the 90s, that's no question that's leading to a fight. There's no question that kind of play is gonna lead to a brawl. So I understood, like, why they were so upset. I would never condone fighting. I don't want to see that. I don't see anybody get suspended or get hurt. I was just talking about the act, which to me was indefensible, and it's just something that shocked me coming from a veteran player like that that I have a lot of regard for. I really like Jay Crowder a lot. I like the way he plays. I like his toughness. I've always been a fan. He's been on good teams. I know his dad. Like, I have no problem with Jay Crowder. I'm just talking about that specific play. That was shocking to me that he would make that.
So it's disrespectful, there's no question, and it lends to a bigger problem of why the Knicks are so disrespected around the league where somebody can do that. But if you know you can't respond with a win, and you know you're being disrespected, what else could Payton have done? I mean, how else do you gain the respect in that particular moment when your team is bad, you're that disrespected?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As much as I don't condone fighting either, what's Payton left to do?
No, and that's kind of my point. Like,
yeah.
I don't condone it. And, you know, the funny thing is, I look at the correlation, and some people were trying to bring up the Kansas State game. And here's the difference. First of all, in that situation, you know, talk about college kids. First of all, not grown men. Okay, so you're talking about college kids, and they're, you know, guys dribbling the ball, trying to dribble the clock out, and he's over half court. And you get a young player that sees a loose dribble and he goes, boom, he makes the steal, which, yes, there's no way the Kansas player was prepared for that because most people are just going to let you dribble the clock out, right? But he gets the steal, he goes in, obviously the guy tracks it down, blocks the shot. And look what it led to. Look at the brawl that ensued in a college game over a play that clearly goes against end-of-game protocol.
Now, Legs, question for you, but real quick, wasn't also that situation even slightly less offensive because it was the losing team that stole the ball?
No, slightly less offensive. It was 10% of what happened last
night.
Right.
It was the losing team stealing the ball.
And that's my point. It was 10% as egregious because at least in that situation you had a team that was losing and the ball was over half court trying to make a play. Now, if that kid had picked somebody up 94 feet down 20, you know, it's like, okay, a little bit much. But even then, I'm kind of like, all right, the kid's playing hard. He's playing legitimate defense. So that's 10% of what happened last night. And yet, despite the fact it was 10% as egregious, in my opinion, look what it led to. Look at the suspensions. The kid that tracked him down, he had a stool over his head ready to swing on somebody. Like, that's how angry you get when people do that kind of thing. And again, I'm not condoning any of that stuff. I'm just saying that's the kind of emotion it stirs up in you when you go against what is commonly known protocol at the end of a game. It's why I got so upset a few years ago when Patrick Beverley dove at the ball when Russell Westbrook was dribbling over half court and clearly was getting ready to call timeout, like you see every night in the NBA, six times a game, where a coach is basically pointing right in front of the bench and saying, you know, get it over half court, call timeout. Everybody relaxes. Dudes start walking off the court, literally, before the ball's even advanced to that spot. And Russell Westbrook's relaxed. And what happened? Patrick Beverley dives at the ball, tears cartilage in Russell Westbrook's knee. On a play when there's no possible way Russell Westbrook should be expecting him to be able to make a play on that ball. And so I was upset with Patrick Beverley for a long time for that. And it's the same thing here. Like, I'm not going to reduce Jay Crowder to say, you know, really horrible things about him personally. And even the exchange he and I had last night was really tame. I just talked about the play. He basically called me a Knicks fan, which I don't know where that came from, but,
you're a season ticket holder, right?
It was the other people that jumped in, and then they throw gas in the fire, and they say a bunch of personal stuff, and whatever. I don't even read 95% of that stuff. I don't even know, but really, honestly, a lot of stuff was said, but it was pretty tame. I think Jay Crowder, in looking at it today, probably would be like, you know what, I probably shouldn't have done that. Because you wouldn't find one player in the NBA that would think that was a legitimate play.
Now, we did look at some of the responses to you on Twitter, so we pulled out a couple. Have you react?
Perfect.
Southern Redleg says, wait, so there's a reason to push somebody down like that? Your take is trash. Be mad at the Knicks, not Jay.
Oh, my God.
Cameron ASM goes, Tim, are you suggesting the Knicks aren't going to bring that ball down the court and try to score? The team that's up shouldn't be the team throwing in the towel. The white flag gets raised by the losers. And
finally,
Orlando Magic 0-0. People being so sensitive. You play until the game is over. I don't care if they're losing by 50. Windmill 360. 60 that S and rub it in their face.
No.
This game has gotten so soft. Shake my head.
It's not.
You know what's funny? Here's what's funny, and I'm just going to point out the idiocy of people. So let me see if I get this straight. On one hand, they call you soft because you think it's an unsportsmanlike, you know, play that lacks etiquette of what is standard end of a game. But at the same time, they're of condoning the fight. Would a soft person want a fight to break out? It doesn't make any sense. I didn't say anything about Elfrid Payton and about what he did. I was just focused on what Jay Crowder did. And here's the other thing. Yeah, the Knicks are going to come up the floor and try to score. Yeah, you're right. They're down 18, 50 seconds. They're going to take a shot. And guess what's going to happen? They're either going to cut it to 15, probably,
right,
or they miss. And guess what? I got news for you guys. I have a real problem with whoever came up with the idea in the NBA that, let's say your team is up. Let's say in that situation, Knicks score. Grizzlies get the ball. Now, they're coming back the other way, okay? And the Knicks elect not to foul because obviously the game would be over. You're down 15 with, say, 30 seconds left. I hate the fact that now teams decide that they're going to take a shot clock violation in that situation. It's against the rules. The rule is to shoot the ball within 24 seconds. So I have no problem, even if then the Grizzlies come back down the court and take a shot and score, even if it's a three, because why would you take a turnover rather than say, you know what, we got enough points, we don't want to rub it in your face. Come on, these are pro athletes. That's not what this was. So I'm not a person that, like, thinks feelings can get hurt based on this stuff. I think high-level collegiate sports, Division I, like high-major sports and professional sports, to me, no such thing as getting your feelings hurt if you're getting smoked. This is not what we're talking about. People try to say that's playing hard. It's not playing hard when the other team is completely unsuspecting of what you're doing. I compared it to someone I had a conversation with today, guys. What if a team goes into victory formation, taking a knee at the end of a football game, and some outside linebacker decides, you know what, I'm going to play hard to the final whistle.
Greg Schiano was the head coach of the Buccaneers, the Giants were in victory formation, and they dove at the ball, and Schiano got destroyed for it. And he's like, no, well, we play to the whistle, man.
But again, that's losing team fighting back. This is so much worse. Jay Crowder was on the winning team.
Even though it is a losing team, so it's not, you know, it's like, again, 10% of what we're talking about here. Even those, though, everybody would consider to be a play that's against protocol, and that as a result, you can't expect the opponent to be preparing for that. So that, to me, it's literally like with sucker punching somebody.
Well, you know what it's like, Tim? It's like a team's up by 9 runs in the 9th inning. You get a guy on first base. The team that's winning plays the first baseman behind and not holding on, and you steal second.
Yeah, agreed.
Or even if you're up by 9.
We can come up with a ton more.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that I said last night, anybody that would defend it, that they don't know the game. Like, they've never played or something. Because if you did that that you would do in a pickup game because there's no clock. But you know what I mean? Like, if you did that in a summer league game somewhere in Philly, like, that's going to be a fight. And it's because it's one thing to come up and steal the ball, which I thought was bad enough. You know, it's not like they threw it right to him. He had to run to that spot to make the steal. So that was something he was looking, he's creeping along. Boom, he shoots in, gets a steal. Okay, whatever. Just dribble the clock. And even then, guess what? I wouldn't have a problem if after the steal, they took a shot, like as the clock's running down. Because I don't believe in taking shot clock violations just because you're up and the game's over. I've never understood where that came into the game. I hate it. So, you know, if they took a shot then, ran down, whatever, 22, 23 seconds, and someone shot it because the shot clock's going to go off, I don't have a problem with that either. What he did was to shoot up, get the steal against an unsuspecting team, and then quickly go to the corner when no one was looking and try to get that 3 off. It's just, it goes against every, and like I said, I'm Sam Mitchell. I did 3 hours of radio with Sam Mitchell today, former coach of the year, and a guy actually was coaching the night Kobe got 81 points when he's coaching the Raptors. We were talking about it. And, I mean, he was even 10 times more vociferous. And he said he would cut the player. He said if that happened to him coaching an NBA game, he would strongly contemplate cutting the player. Like, that's the level to which this incites people. And Sam said he saw it last night, had the same reaction I did. And I'm sure a lot of guys around the league saw it and said, I just don't get it. That's not an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old rookie. And even then, it wouldn't be excusable. But at least you go, okay, he's immature. But this is Jay Crowder, a vet I have a ton of respect for. So I warned anything, man. I just scratched my head. I couldn't believe what I saw. It just goes so against what I think Jay Crowder would do in that situation.
Final thing, and we talked about this, Tim. We have about a minute here. It happens to the Knicks because no one respects the Knicks. Jay Crowder's not doing that to the Lakers and LeBron James. He's not doing that to Russell Westbrook. He's just not doing that to a team that's respected. The Knicks have zero respect around the league, so you feel you could do stuff like this.
I think that's a fair point. I really do think that's a fair point. But I also think another fair point to make to all the people that were defending it, and at one point I said, yeah, I get it. Okay, he's one of your guys. It's fine. What do you think Jay Crowder would have done if that had happened to the Memphis Grizzlies at Memphis and some team did that and Jay Crowder was in the vicinity? What
gone
do you
nuts.
Think Jay Crowder would have done?
Would have gone nuts.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And so that's why what I always have a problem with sometimes with sports fans, and I know that people are passionate about their team, it goes beyond passion. When you literally can't stop bleeding the colors of your team long enough to just look at the common sense of it, and how that is something that is incredibly provocative. If I rooted for that team, you know, if I rooted for them, you know, like if in football, like the one team I have a lot of passion for is the Redskins. You guys know that.
Sure
if,
do.
If the play like that happened in a Redskins game at the end of a game, and one of my players did something like you were talking about, like diving on the ball when a team's taking it, I would be furious at like my own team. It's not, you got to put your passion aside sometimes and just look at the common sense of it. And that's hard on social media because you don't know who these people are. And it's like you get into these ridiculous, you know, trains of thought. Clearly, you're not rational because that's not. There's no way you could look at that rationally and have that point of view. I'm sorry, I don't care if you love them.
Well, now it's a perfect storm, right? Because even Knicks fans are going to attack their own team because they don't like their team right now.
That's the thing. I was weird because I was getting some of those comments last night where it was actual, they, at least they said, they were Knicks fans that were supporting what the Grizzlies did just because they hate their team that much, which I thought was really strange. But it, I have no dog in the fight whatsoever, man. I'm unbiased. I cover the league, and like I said, I really like Jay Crowder. I don't know if you could ever go back over the course of the time I've covered Jay Crowder League and ever find anything I've said about Jay Crowder that wasn't positive. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, yeah.
So it's not about any of that stuff. It's just about, my goodness. Like, that's how much it obviously struck a chord in me. I was watching it when it happened. I couldn't believe what I saw. And then when I saw the highlight later tonight, I just couldn't help. I said, I got to say something about this because that is just really bizarre to me, and it's one of the most provocative things you could do on a basketball court.
Great stuff, Tim. I'm sorry the social media monsters got you.
No, it's okay. I don't read it, man. My wife reads it. She gets her feelings hurt for me.
Oh, Michael reads it to you.
Tim, as a Redskins fan, just this weekend for a moment, think about, because I've been having this thought the last couple of days, think about how sad this weekend's going to be for Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah, no question.
He's going to be probably sitting around with Dan Snyder in his suite, bored out of his mind listening to Snyder ramble, watching the two teams he was really a part of play for the Super Bowl.
That's actually a great, great point. I hadn't really thought about it until you just mentioned it. Like, that's got to be tough, particularly when it's not even like he's the starting quarterback now on a really bad team. His career, for all intents and purposes, is over. And these two teams that he played for previously are going to match up in the Super Bowl. That's a great point.
And the worst job you could ever have, friend of Daniel Snyder. All right.
Bye, Tim.
All right, guys. See you.
All right, Ranger fans, keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets. See the Rangers take on the Sabres on Friday, February 7th at 7 p.m. Brought to you by the New York Rangers. Visit NewYorkRangers.com for tickets today. Buster Olney reporting the Red Sox are deep into talks with the Dodgers about all-star right fielder Mookie Betts. According to sources, two sides have talked about possible combinations that involve veteran left-hander David Price and some that don't include Price. So
we
don't have that.
We don't include legs enough in the conversation. We talk about the best phones we get.
He's very, very good.
He's up there. Don, you agree?
He's absolutely. He's ahead of Wingle. 1-800-919-3776. Have a chance to qualify for the big game, Superbox Bonanza 2. That's coming up in just a moment. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.